I would say I'm a technician. I'm always working my hands inside, upper body rotation, turning my toe at the top of the rush, coming out my hips. So that means whenever I go to a different alignment, I'm the same guy. It's just the steps or the timing is a little bit different. But that's why I'm always training my technique, and I'm really excited to get out to AZ and, you know, get to work, man. You know, y'all weather, what's the weather like right now?
It's only about 75, 80.
Perfect.
Oh yeah, I'll be outside of them bags tomorrow, man.
It's Darius Robinson, the Cardinals draft pick at number 27 overall. Out of Missouri, defensive end, 6'5", 285 pounds. You know, the Cardinals had options there at that 27th pick. They had the option to listen to offers. They had the option to go with cornerback, which I think a lot of fans were maybe bracing for at that time, with the way the corners had been ignored for a good portion of the first round.
Yeah,
I think this is a solid pick. From everything you hear about Darius Robinson, the ultimate teammate, really came in, worked hard, had a tremendous week at the Senior Bowl to elevate his status. But a guy who just wants to come in and work, and you know, another piece to that defense where, you know, Monty Austin-Fort in free agency really addressed the defense, and he fits in nicely on a revamped defensive line.
Yeah, a couple thoughts about this. So Darius Robinson was the sixth edge rusher taken in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
There was a run on them, and the Cardinals got on the back end of that particular run. There were people in real time who said after the Seahawks took Byron Murphy II, in which I thought was a little bit of a surprise pick, that there was a window for the Cardinals at that point in time to maybe try to package one of their third round picks, get up higher, maybe get Dallas Turner. There were people I was talking to who thought for sure that Dallas Turner was going to end up in Seattle. When Seattle passed on Dallas Turner to take Byron Murphy, opened a window where maybe if the Cardinals wanted to sacrifice some of their third round draft capital to get up ahead of some teams, they could. Mm-hmm. They clearly chose, no, we're good. We're good with how this thing is going to shake out. We're not going to sacrifice what we have in the third round to get up, and because they obviously like Darius Robinson a lot. So that's just something, because it went Dallas Turner, then it went Jared Verse. Is that not like the perfect, like, AKA for him? Jared Verse for a couple of different reasons.
Yeah.
One, because of the song, and two, because that's how you say verses.
That is pretty funny.
Jared Verses. Man.
And it was perfect. I think you pointed out they've only had two picks in the last 8 years, and they've both been...
Yeah, that was their the Rams' first round pick since 2016, and they've both been named Jared. Jared Goff and Jared Verse. They really have a very narrow
specific type. Yeah,
I did not know that.
No, other than the Dallas Turner, there was also talk: should they have traded up to get one of those cornerbacks that went just before their pick? Because obviously the Cardinals need a cornerback.
Yeah,
they do, and I think that's going to be addressed at number 35 today. Here was Darius Robinson talking with our own Tyler Drake about one aspect of his game that he really likes at this point heading into the NFL.
Inside hand placement, controlling blocks with inside hand placement, leverage, and being physical.
One last one for me. Message to the fans.
Message to the fans. I can't wait to get to AZ, and I'm really excited for this opportunity, excited for the weather, and most importantly, ready to get to work and help us win games.
And he also talked about, you know, his meetings in this pre-draft process with the Cardinals, what made him feel so strongly about this organization.
Man, I feel like they had a really plan of action of how they want to use their defensive linemen and their defense and their scheme. And I just feel like, for me, it just fit in. And red is one of my favorite colors also. And this Arizona, he got there. I'm from Michigan, man. That's why I asked y'all what's the weather like, man, because I'm going to get out there and I might stay. I might not even come back at all. So I'm just really excited and just can't wait to meet my coaches and my new teammates.
What a cool night for Darius Robinson. Not only does he get drafted in the first round, excited about where he's going, but got to get drafted. He went to Missouri, but he's a Michigan kid. So he grew up not far from where the draft went down, and he said he had a ton of friends and family members there. Very cool moment.
The thing I also like about him is he can play inside and outside. Yes. So he is not exclusively an edge kind of guy, which is good. Gives you some versatility. And that defensive line on the Cardinals has been rebuilt. We'll see what it looks like come. And they're not particularly done yet. We'll see what else they do in the draft and in the rounds ahead. But you spoke on the scene, that scene last night in Detroit. I wonder what could possibly top what we witnessed last night. This idea of taking drafts on the road to these Rust Belt cities, it's one of the best things the NFL has ever done.
275,000 people.
Yeah. Vinny and I were in Nashville the night the Kyler Murray pick went down, and that scene was insane.
That scene
was maybe one third of what last night was in Michigan.
They said that was about 200,000.
Yeah.
So this was about 75,000 more.
It was, I mean, going back to that 2019 experience in Nashville, it was breathtaking. When you walk down and they had it set up right on Broadway with the hub of all the activity in Nashville. But when you see the enormity of that stage.
Yeah. Yes.
And then, you know, I remember on the Friday night after the Cardinals got done with their Friday night selections, you know, we were done with our work and we're at a place where we were elevated and you could see the entire crowd.
Uh-huh.
And to see, man,
the sea of humanity.
It's
unbelievable.
In one way, it's like it's so impressive and breathtaking, whatever word you want to use. And in another way, it's puzzling, because what it boils down to is, you know, everybody in their own way gathers to watch just a bunch of guys get jobs.
That's it. That's it. That's exact. No, you're right. That you said that in a deadpan comic delivery, but there's a lot of truth in that. It's so weird. I'm watching last night. There was just a sea of humanity in Detroit at the very beginning. When you got into the 30s last night, the place was vacated. People were like, okay, we've had enough. Let's get out of here. And people went home. They didn't watch a show. They didn't watch a game. It was just like you said, people getting jobs.
And fan bases will wait hours for their team to pick so that they draft some lineman that they had never heard of.
And then
a guy walks on stage for 30 seconds and it's over.
I thought I'm not saying this because of who was involved. Toward the end of the first round, when Jordan Morgan from Arizona got picked in Green Bay, and they had the shot of the Green Bay fan wearing the cheese head, who obviously knew nothing about Jordan Morgan,
right.
but getting trolled to his face by a Lions fan.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Very funny.
Yeah, it was hysterical. Yeah, and that person with the cheese head is thinking to himself, I put on this cheese head hat and embarrassed myself for Jordan Morgan?
For this. It is amazing, though, when you think that not that long ago, this draft was in some indoor theater in New York every year over the course of a weekend morning.
This is one of the best things they've ever done. And where they pick these cities where people can drive in from all different directions. You can come in from Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Chicago. That's the beauty of this.
Steubenville.
Yeah, right.
Next year's in Green Bay.
Well,
that'll be a little different.
No, that'll be a great vibe too. That's like holy ground for football fans.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean,
right? It's like going to the Vatican if you're Catholic.
Right. But is there? I mean, are they going to hold it?
It's got
by the stadium.
It's got to be near Lambeau,
because there's not much of a.
It's right in a neighborhood, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's.
It wasn't. I agree with a lot of what you said, and the NFL is really great, and most professional sports leagues are great into capturing the moment and making it an event, a package deal. It wasn't all great. Like before the draft started last night, I didn't need to hear a "Hey, what's up, Detroit?" from every person who's ever worn a Detroit Lions uniform. It's like, let's get to it. Come on, we got stuff to do.
And how about the commissioner coming out with Eminem and calling him M?
The best.
Like he's his boy.
Thank you, M.
Thank you.
He didn't mean to do that. He just, as he does every year, just messes up names.
Oh yeah, he's
Ruben Foster.
Did you hear the one that he really, really butchered last night?
No.
Oh, there's so much sound. I don't know where it is on the page, Jarrett. The last pick of the first round?
It should be, though. In other sports. All right. I don't know why
Here it is.
The Buffalo Bills have traded the 32nd pick to the Carolina Panthers. With the 32nd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers select Xavier Leggett, wide receiver, South Carolina.
It's not even that hard, Raj.
I can't believe, with all the stuff we just talked about, how they've made this such an event, that he is still the host of it. that they haven't got like a, you know, Jimmy Kimmel or whatever.
Yes.
A real host, like it's a real entertainment event.
Yes.
But isn't so much of the fun getting to boo him?
Yes.
You can still have him like introduce the thing, but yeah.
And by the way,
he got off easy last night.
He did,
because, but again, walking on stage with Eminem in Detroit, you talk about, you know, you're not going to catch a lot of strays when you're coming on stage with Eminem.
No, that's
true. His friend M.
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 They go way back.
Cardinals have just secured their franchise wide receiver. We want to have the opportunity to gear up for football season. Text Jersey to 620-620 for a chance to win a Marvin Harrison jersey when they become available, as well as a Kyler Murray autograph jersey. That's Jersey to 620-620 now for your shot at winning. Coming up next, we're rearranging things today. We got some guests coming up later in the 7 o'clock hour. So an early edition of the Rush Hour Reboot with Sarah Cazell. It's Pickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Arizona built for America's dreams.
Your ears do not deceive you. Yes, it is 7:18, and yes, it is the Rush Hour Reboot here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Welcome in, everybody. We are catching you up on the top stories of the day a little bit early today because we have some awesome guests coming up, including next at 7:30, Eli Drinkwitz, the Mizzou head coach of Darius Robinson. He will be joining us at 7:30. We're also going to have Baxter Holmes on to talk Suns T-Wolves at 7:45, and then at 8:15, Marvin Harrison Jr. Well, I guess it's an Ohio State beat writer, but Marvin Harrison Jr. beat writer Bill Rabinowitz for the Columbus Dispatch. That's at 8:15. So make sure you hang out with us beyond the Rush Hour Reboot this morning. Hi, everyone. I'm Sarah Cazell, taking you through some top stories today with Dan Bickley.
Hey turn up my mic, ferret.
Vince Marotta.
Sandra, how far has this family come? We came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yeah.
I like
one of the
that.
Best moments of the draft.
I respected that.
Yeah, I did too.
And Jarrett Carlin.
We waited 6 years to say this. Welcome to the NFL draft in Detroit.
And we did? What?
We waited 6 years to say this. Welcome to the NFL draft in Detroit.
That was the remix version.
We waited 6 years to say this. Welcome to the NFL draft in Detroit.
Detroit.
I think he was just saying the Detroit.
You really need to get him into the sports kebab rotation.
Roger Goodell?
Yes.
Stay tuned, 9:30.
All right, good.
Ooh, okay. All right. In the meantime,
he's going to start writing those jokes now.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's jump into the Rush Hour Reboot, starting, of course, with the Cardinals and the draft. They got their dude. They got Marvin Harrison Jr., the top receiver coming out of college football. Here is Kyler Murray's real-time reaction. He was watching, I assume it was at his place, on TV. The sound is courtesy of the Cardinals.
Hey, man, we up.
Hey, who is it? Who was the loon that was
the friend hitting his head with a football?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It just like was in the video and nobody mentioned it.
No.
Maybe it didn't need to be mentioned. I don't know. Marvin Harrison Jr., just as excited to work with Kyler Murray.
Like you said, there's so many pieces, but I think it all starts with the guy at the helm. That's Kyler Murray, one of the best quarterbacks in the game. And he's just so dynamic. I think he's a winner. Super excited to play with him. I just know how special he is as a player and as a person as well. So super excited, like I said.
Now, on the Arizona Sports NFL Draft special last night, which sounded great, you guys, Cardinals GM Monty Austin-Fort called in and said it wasn't all that difficult for them to stay put at 4 rather than trade back. He said it was going to take something really, really big to get them off of the number 4 pick. Clearly, nothing really, really big came through. And he said that what he loves about Marvin Harrison Jr. is his crisp route running that you never see from someone his size.
Marvin's unique, and he's shown it the last couple years at Ohio State, and he's been a highly productive receiver at the top level of competition. And you know, we feel like he can continue to produce and be effective at helping us become explosive on offense, and we can't wait to get him out there on the field for us.
Okay, so that's Marvin Harrison Jr. They also got Mizzou defensive tackle Darius Robinson, 27th overall. Love this description from Cardinals coach Jonathan Gannon. You can hear the enthusiasm.
violent. Really good in the run and pass game, and can win in multiple spots in both the run and the pass game.
Okay, guys, are you happy with how the first round
went? Yeah, I am. It's not necessarily the edge rusher I had envisioned, but in reading upon him, and that's one of the things, that violent element that Jonathan Gannon is not afraid to voice, and it's a very important element to have on your defense, a defense that embraces and likes violence. So, yeah, after Marvin Harrison Jr., I think I was pretty much guaranteed to crown this a good experience.
Yeah, I think this is it was a positive night for the Arizona Cardinals. I was a little surprised by the Robinson pick, quite honestly. I thought maybe they would go cornerback there. They didn't, but it's another area of need, and this guy's attitude stands out. We're going to get more on that attitude, as you mentioned, when Eli Drinkwitz joins us.
Yes, we absolutely are. We've got the second and third rounds today starting at 4. The Cardinals have the third pick in the second round, so we'll see them move quickly, and then they have 3 picks in the third round. What should the Cardinals prioritize today?
Yeah, as Vinny said, in that at the end of the first round, they had a choice. They could go and get a top level cornerback, because I think only 2 had been taken at that point in time, or they could get the bottom of the first wave of edge rushers. And I think in their minds, getting the edge rusher there and circling back for the cornerback today. So I would be stunned if their first pick of the second round is not a cornerback.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm going. I think it needs to be a corner.
Yeah.
All right. Let's shift our attention to the Suns now. They are under some serious pressure tonight. Game 3 against the Timberwolves at Footprint Center. First time this series has come to the Valley. They're down 0-2 to Minnesota. At shootaround yesterday, Kevin Durant was asked how his vast playoff experience can help the team, you know, mentally, with them down 0-2.
Just gotta go out there and do your job, man. Like I said, I could give a speech about what it's like in the playoffs or what a series was like going down 0-2 and coming back. Like, I can go give that speech in the locker room all I want. We still got to go out there and execute the game plan that we got in place and go out there and play hard as we can to get this one win. Possession at a time basketball, you know. So, yeah, all that stuff is cool, but at the end of the day, like, these guys know what it is around this time. Like, it's playoff time. Like, everybody understands this, so I don't think we got to do anything extra.
All right, Kevin Durant's not going to do anything extra, but if you two could go into the Suns' locker room before tonight's game and give them a speech, what would that speech sound like?
Oh, wow. Maybe Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday?
I wish I knew that speech better.
It's a game of inches.
I'd go Kurt Russell from Miracle.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I don't know the speech verbatim. We need Aaron Maloney.
Aaron, where are you?
Right.
I'm not a big speech guy either. I think you got to pick your spots. They should have probably given the speech before this series started.
Before the season, I thought you were going to say.
Maybe before the season started. I do agree with Kevin Durant. Just go out and play better.
Listen, if this team is a little weird internally, and we all know that it is, because the results scream it, okay? No matter what they say, giving a speech would be the dumbest thing you could do.
Yeah, especially on a veteran team
like
this.
The dumbest thing you could do. Because if the vibage is weird, you need this stuff on the court to correct the vibage. Nothing you say, everything you say, this is not the kind of team that I think that's appropriate.
No, I agree with you.
7:30? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
7:30 start. I'm just wrapping this thing up. They're
12
on
hours from now.
Seven.
Yeah.
And the Arizona Sports app. Yes, that is 12 hours from now.
Yes.
By the way, Grayson Allen is questionable. He said it's going to be a group decision among him, trainers, coaches.
And his ankle.
And his ankle.
And his ankle.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Rush Hour Reboot
every morning at 7:30, but today at 7:15. Why is that? Because we're going to talk to the college coach of Cardinals first round draft pick, Darius Robinson. Eli Drinkwitz from Missouri will join us straight ahead. It's Bickley and Marotta mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Yeah, we continue on the Friday edition of Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Busy night for the Arizona Cardinals. They get two first-round draft picks, including 27th overall pick, Darius Robinson, edge rusher from Missouri. Here to talk about it with us is Darius Robinson's college coach from the Missouri Tigers, Eli Drinkwitz, who joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Coach, good morning. Thanks for making time for us today. We appreciate it.
Man, good morning. Appreciate the opportunity to get on here. Wish y'all's weather would come up here to Columbia, Missouri. We got a rainy, cool morning. I know it's beautiful, sunny, and probably 80 in Phoenix today. Huh?
Yeah, we're doing okay on that front today, Coach.
Yeah, Darius not is going to like wintering in Arizona. Let's put it that way, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, his mom and grandma were asking me about my thoughts, and I said, man, you just picked moving from Detroit to Arizona. I think you ought to be real, real happy about that.
If you could, I can kind of hear it in your voice. What kind of pride does a head coach take in watching a player that not only played for you, but spent 5 years, which in this landscape of college football doesn't happen a lot, 5 years at Missouri. Just how proud are you to see this elevation for Darius Robinson this morning?
Yeah, you know, I sent D-Rob a text the other morning just saying, man, how appreciative I was because he had my back when not very many other people did. In a day and age when a lot of people, when it wasn't going great, could have turned and went somewhere else or transferred, because he's always been talented. He's always been highly sought after. He stayed, trusted the process, believed in himself, but believed in his teammates, believed in the university. And, you know, to have that moment – to have the Arizona Cardinals call and believe in him and draft him. I'll say this, he's going to be worthy of the investment. I know this. Y'all are going to get a guy who's going to give that organization and those fans everything he's got every single day. He's going to be a tremendous teammate. He's going to be a tremendous player, and it's going to mean a lot to him to represent Cardinal Nation. I know that.
Coach, there's a great picture in social media that kind of attests to what you just said, and it's Darius and you walking out of a press conference at the end of the 2022 season, year that didn't go great for you guys, and yet it shows the cohesiveness and the closeness between you two. What did that additional year do for his refinement as a defensive lineman? People say his footwork has gotten markedly better. People say his bag of moves to get off the line of scrimmage has gotten better. What did that last year, that additional year, mean for him?
I think it honestly became his confidence in who he is as a player. I think he's always been a big player, but he's never really had that confidence that he could become a dominant football player. And when you watch him this year in our league, I even think Coach Belichick said it, you can forget running the ball to his side when he's a five technique. I mean, he is going to set the edge. And now he's learned that he can rush the passer at elite level. I mean, I think y'all had, I'm sure y'all saw the press conference where he went through just the 2 minutes of preparation that he does week to week. He is a student of the game. And I think that preparation and understanding the detail of how he prepared allowed him to elevate his game. And obviously he went from a mid-round pick projection last year to a first-round draft pick this year. So it was definitely an investment in himself and definitely an investment that was worthwhile.
We're talking with Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of the Missouri Tigers here on the Arizona Sports Line. A lot was made about the shift in positions for D-Rob going from the inside to the outside. How willing was he to do that? And, you know, how impressive is that a player can make that transition so effectively at that point in his career?
I think it just goes to his team-first mentality. I mean, you got to think about this. This young man was a projected mid-round pick as a defensive tackle, and we asked him to do something very risky, move to a defensive end position, something you haven't worked your entire career to do. But we felt like it was what the best need of our team was, and he did it unselfishly and didn't just do it. He excelled at it. And now you, the Arizona Cardinals, are going to benefit the most because he's got position flexibility. He can play a five on first and second down. He can move to a sub-3 on a third down pass rush. He's going to be a very difficult out for offensive tackle to block. He's going to be a real difficult out for a guard or center to pass block against. And again, he's when he walks in the building, you're going to know he's the first guy off the bus type of guy. And he's a really good teammate. I mean, I think when you look at what the Cardinals were able to do with the first round to get Marvin Harrison Jr. and D-Rob, who've actually become friendly back in the green room. They were definitely having conversations before the draft. I don't think they pictured playing together, but you know, those guys know each other, and I know they're coming in there with the right mindsets, both coming from winning programs. So I think it's going to be a really good addition for y'all's team.
One of the things that we like about Jonathan Gannon is he's very candid in how much he likes violence and how much he wants violent football players. He's not afraid to say it out loud. So when it comes to the physicality of D-Rob, where is he at on that scale?
Well, that I think that was one of his biggest growths this year is the ability to play violently, throw people out the club, as we call it. I think when you see, you know, the highlight reel of his sacks, he's running down the middle of offensive linemen and moving them off their spot. He is an extremely powerful player. I mean, he's got great play strength. Coach Gannon will love the violence that D-Rob plays with.
We're talking with Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of the Missouri Tigers here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. All right, let's get real deep here, Coach. We've heard the critiques. We've heard your synopsis of D-Rob as a football player. What about the fashion last night? I think he had one of the most memorable outfits. What did you think of that jacket he was rocking?
I mean, I think the jacket was, I mean, it was like the coat of many colors, Joseph, the coat of many colors.
Right.
I thought it could have been on Seinfeld with Kramer. But I think the biggest thing was the way he accented that with the sunglasses and the watch. I mean, I think when you see all of that fit together, it was definitely one of the most impressive fits. It was subtle and bold at the same time. I don't know if there's a combo word for that. You know, there was a couple other guys that had like these really crazy outfits that I don't think they pulled off as well. I think D-Rob was just like, I'm big. I'm a badass. I'm on radio. I'm a bad.
You
bad
can say that. We're good.
I'm also going to wear a coat of many colors to show you I got some fashion sense.
Yeah, it's great. Now, it's a tribute to you and your program of how many guys you are going to be putting into the pros this weekend at the NFL draft. But D-Rob's number one and the first one gone. When you take a look at his intangibles and his character, which have been referenced frequently, tell us more about that. What kind of person is Arizona getting?
Yeah, I mean, he was the Arthur Ashe Student Athlete of the Year. He's been consistently the male athlete, male, you know, role model for our university, accelerates in community service this past season, used his own NIL money to have a backpack drive for back-to-school backpack drive for students in our community. He's a give-back, fully embrace the community type of person. He realizes what a blessing it is that he has this opportunity. But his character, two-time captain, we were doing our leadership class last week asking, hey guys, what are some of these, you know, who represents some of these characteristics? And we had more than one person said D-Rob represents all those, Coach. And, you know, I think that's just a tribute to him and how seriously he took being a leader.
Well, Coach, thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate the look into Darius Robinson, and best of luck at Mizzou this season. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, and y'all just gained some Cardinal fans from out here in Columbia, Missouri. Look forward to coming out and watching a game.
Nice.
Sounds good. Thank you, Coach. Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of the Missouri Tigers, joining us this morning on the Arizona Sports Line. Coming up next, we'll talk some Suns basketball, getting ready for Game 3. Baxter Holmes covering the series for ESPN.com. He'll join us next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Luke. Are the Phoenix Suns facing a must-win situation in Game 3 against the Timberwolves? We're getting you ready for Suns-Wolves at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Yeah, less than 12 hours away from Game 3 at Footprint Center. Suns trying to get on the board against the T-Wolves down 0-2. Here to talk about it with us, he's covering the series for ESPN.com. ESPN senior writer Baxter Holmes joins us on the Arizona Sports Line. Baxter, thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
A lot in the first two games that the Suns have put out there in this series has led people to wonder about the vibe, the connectivity, the communication, the togetherness, however you want to phrase it. What are your observations on the vibe that the Suns have right now at this point of the series, Baxter?
I would say, as the kids say, that the vibes are not good. Look, the Timberwolves had played very aggressively and very physically. You know, they have the league's best defense. They have some excellent perimeter defenders, especially in Jaden McDaniels. And, you know, inside, obviously, they have Rudy Gobert. And they really put a lot of pressure on the Suns, on their big three. You know, if they've gotten past them, it's, you know, they've had to deal with Gobert or Towns. So it's been clear to see throughout the first two games that, as you know, when the Suns have missed shots, or you know, if they've turned the ball over or things haven't gone their way, they've crumbled a bit, and it's been hard for them to kind of bounce back from that. And that's been a big talking point around the team the last couple days. But they know that the Timberwolves are not going to ease up. They're not going to like start playing less physically or less aggressively. I mean, obviously, look, it's two games, the Wolves protected home court, but, you know, if you're watching the Suns right now and how they've kind of responded, and what's been a hostile environment, the crowd's been amazing in Minnesota the last two games. I would say that the vibes are not great right now for Phoenix.
Yeah, and the word legacy is often used in conjunction with NBA superstars. You've got a really interesting piece on Kevin Durant online at ESPN.com talking and detailing his journey back from the playoff and that gruesome injury he suffered in Golden State. What kind of legacy points are on the line for Kevin Durant?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, look, the first thing I'd say is that the fact that he ever came back from that and is, you know, the player that he is, I think is pretty remarkable. You know, that being said, look, everybody always wondered after Golden State, what, you know, would Kevin Durant ever kind of be in championship contention again? Would he ever be at this level again? But not only as a player, but just being in position. In Brooklyn, it didn't work out. Phoenix, being aligned with Beal and Booker, the expectations were high. I mean, you guys know well, like, there were, you know, dreams and aspirations of a championship coming into this year. It's not certainly all on Kevin, but I think that, you know, look, I have friends who are big-time Golden State fans, and the longer that Kevin goes without being kind of in a position for another title run, the more that they'll say, oh, you know, he never should have left. That's kind of revisionist history in a way, and, you know, who knows what could have happened. But, yeah, I mean, it's something that people monitor closely, and the season's been a disappointment, you know, thus far. Make no mistake.
Baxter Holmes has a new piece on Kevin Durant on ESPN.com. He's covering the series for ESPN.com, and he joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Going back to the previous question about vibe, and maybe it moves past that, and you talked about Minnesota's aggressive nature in the first two games of this series and how it won't let up. The Suns have looked befuddled by what Minnesota's throwing out there defensively. Frank Vogel has talked in this series a couple of times now about, hey, this is our first run together in the playoffs. But individually, this is such a seasoned playoff team. That being said, how surprised are you, Baxter, as an observer and covering this series, that the Suns have looked so discombobulated?
It's been surprising. Now, you know, one of the things that Frank has pointed out is, you know, the kind of the inconsistency of the availability of these guys. It's their first season together. There have been, as you guys well know, they've been in and out of the lineup a lot. It's not like they have a ton of experience playing together. And I know that they have been very kind of seasoned individuals, you know, like separately. But collectively, it's fairly new. And, you know, one of the things I think for them, it's been a learning curve a bit all season, along with, like, you know, who's playing. But it's how do you defer to each other? Who is, you know, the kind of the right player in this moment? It's a thing that super teams, frankly, with a lot of stars, have all had to grapple with, you know, dating back several years. And some of them have worked, some of them haven't. If you talk to coaches and executives around the league, they will very quickly point out that just putting talent on the team does not make that team go necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, all the pieces have to fit together. And it's been challenging, I think, for the Suns to make those talented pieces fit along with everything else, and just the availability in the lineup and whatnot. You know, and that's played out so far this series. But I'll be very interested to see how they respond tonight. You know, they got punched in the mouth the first two games, really wilted in game two. That was a close game. And then the second half, you know, the Timberwolves started to go their way a little bit, and all of a sudden they're up 19, and Phoenix just fell apart. So it's going to be a pivotal game tonight.
Yeah, you're not kidding about that. And the embracing of the physicality and then dishing it back to the opponent, it's something this team is not, obviously, it's not their normal state of being. And I wonder if they're going to be able to get that way, especially at a time when the refs aren't calling a whole lot. But this actually began after the All-Star break. Do you think the NBA is trying to kind of phase some free throw shooting out of this game, maybe quicken up the pace of these games, maybe taking a page out of the baseball playbook?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, this has been a big thing that has been talked about. My colleagues at ESPN have covered this quite a bit. And you've seen some comments after games where people are like, wow, they're just not, you know, maybe he's calling as much. And they're kind of letting them play a little bit. And I've seen some rhetoric where people are like, I kind of like this. It reminds me of like the 90s a little bit where they're just, they're letting them play. They're letting them be physical with each other. They're not, you know, maybe calling a kind of ticky-tack foul like the players are kind of determining games. You know, Adam Silver has made comments about this and Joe Dumars and whatnot. And yeah, the games were kind of bogged down, the scoring, and, you know, all of it. There's just so much time at the free throw line. I will say that, you know, for any team that spends a lot of time just kind of arguing with the refs about calls, this is probably not the time to do that. If they've made it clear, and it's been clear really from the All-Star break on, that the refs are going to let things go more and they're going to let teams play more physically and you know, and it obviously ramps up during the playoffs, then you just have to play. You have to play, and, you know, every second that you spend kind of arguing a call you think didn't go your way, the other team could potentially be pushing it for a fast break bucket.
No doubt.
They're trying to, you know, get you out of position before you have a chance to get your defense set. So, yeah, it's going to be adjustment a little bit. What you're talking about hurt the Suns a lot in game two, you know, the points off turnovers and just seeing how the Suns kind of responded when calls weren't going their way. They talked about it a ton after the game. It's going to be important for the rest of the series going forward.
All right, finally, when you take a look at this, you mentioned super teams have an iffy record in the NBA. I've seen people say that this might be the real last dalliance with a team and an organization flirting with a super team. Given how teams are now into roster development, do you believe in that? Do you believe that these Suns might be a cautionary tale for teams that might want to try this in the future?
I think the cautionary tale kind of goes back maybe even to Brooklyn or, you know, you know, these Suns are maybe another example. Obviously, the full story hasn't been written on them yet. But, yeah, I think it's been going on for a while. I mean, you can look at good examples, you know, the 2008, you know, the KG Celtics of that period. You can look at, obviously, you know, the Warriors when they got Kevin Durant. But most of that, I really don't consider them that way because most of those guys were homegrown. But the Miami Heat, you know, the Heatles with LeBron, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade. Aside from that, it hasn't really, you know, like worked out. You know, and we've seen more teams, you know, whether it's a Denver, whether it's a Milwaukee. Now you look at Oklahoma City that have kind of drafted and developed their way into being a contender. And I think that this is probably, you know, and Boston is there too. So I think that this is probably the path going forward. You know, you just get so much more time together with guys. They learn together, they grow together, they learn how to play with each other, they have more time and experience in a system. That's not to say that this model, you know, couldn't be impactful down the road, but I feel like this fad has kind of passed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I know? Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like the other model has been working enough that it's just not that's the path teams will go. It's a copycat league, as you know.
Yeah, Baxter, thanks so much for
Baxter.
The time and the insight. We appreciate it.
All right, appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Baxter Holmes has got a great piece on Kevin Durant if you want to read that on ESPN.com. Senior writer for ESPN, he joined us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Guess what's coming up next?
Fire!
The Bickley Blast. It's Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.